Hello, and thank you once again for joining us on K-Pop Cosmos. I am Freya, and joining me once again is my co-host, Mark. What's up, Mark?
What is up, Freya? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling kind of weird because we keep talking about second genners.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But everyone's probably like, hey, why aren't you talking about third generation or fourth generation? We'll get to them. I promise. We'll do more of them.
Exactly.
We're letting
we'll
them
get to them. Just hold.
Yeah, but they need more history behind them before we can really dive in, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be a really short episode if we talk about some of the newer groups. Like they have one album, one video, that's it.
Yeah, like talking about aespa right now. They have one music video. Can't really talk about them right now. So we'll get to them. We haven't talked at all about first generation, which makes me feel bad. But at the same time, first generation, it's like really hard to find their stuff. So, yes. I mean, I had a hard enough time finding Soteji information. He's the father of K-pop. But regardless, so today we are talking about a second gen group, and that is 2PM. Baby, have you ever heard of 2PM before, Mark?
I did hear of 2PM because, as I probably mention every episode on the show that I'm a huge Wonder Girls fan, and Wonder Girls is under JYP. Mm-hmm. So of course, just by proximation, I've come across the band 2PM and 2AM, but not enough that I know a lot about them. Nothing really stuck with me, but I did hear of them.
Yeah. So, this is one of those groups that I found like right during their debut. So I kind of followed them for a bit, but overall, I'm sad to say, I didn't like follow them for too long. Because of a certain little drama that happened really soon after they debuted. So anyway, before we get into that situation, so 2PM is a 6-member group, and they were originally a 7-member group. So the members are Nikoon, Taekyeon, Wooyoung, Junho, Changsung, and Jun K. When I was following the group, he was called Junsu, so that's a little confusing at first, but he just changed his name to Jun K. And then also they had Jay Park, and Jay Park was the leader of the group. The group debuted with the song, I believe it was 10 out of 10. And that was in September of 2008. Also, during their debut, they had a show that kind of showed their trainee life, to say. it was kind of brutal. I believe it was called Hot Blooded Men. And I think you can still find it on YouTube. It's essentially they put these teenage boys into military training. And so they're doing stuff that I was asking one of my Marine Corps friends. I'm like, did you guys do this stuff? He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did that stuff. Because they're making them, like, lift the rafts and run and sing and, like, hike up a mountain while singing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He's like, yeah, we did that. But then they made them do other stuff, like they went into the ring with a boxer and had to box around with the guy, and obviously the guy's taking it easy on them, but it killed them. And then that show, and okay, so 2PM's a little bit unique. And when I say unique, they're actually part of an 11-member group called One Day. And that was split up into two groups. So 2PM is the one group, and then 2AM is the other group. So we're not going to talk about 2AM because that's just too freaking complicated, and we could just talk about them by themselves. But they are technically one big group. 2PM is like the party, late night, woo, you know, go to the club group. And 2AM is more of a ballad group. Like, you know, chill music, stuff you can, you know, vibe to a little bit, but it's not going to like pump you up. They're unique in that aspect, is like they have a twin group that they would do a lot of stuff with. I don't know. K-pop was very experimental in second gen. They didn't know what they were doing.
That's what I was going to say. I can imagine JYP just sitting at a desk going, you know, like tapping his fingers together like an evil scientist. Like, what if we make them do military stuff? What if we cut them in half and have them have like, you know, we'll have the band be one day, but one to be for the nighttime and one to be for the early nighttime, quote unquote. I love the fact that that there's no rules in K-pop. It's one of the things that I love about it. They can just put stuff together like they're creating a superhero movie and just do it the way that they want to. So I have mad respect for this group because of that.
Yeah, it's a grab bag. And going back and rewatching all of their music videos and stuff, it really kind of showed me. I'm like, I forgot how weird some of this stuff got with their concepts. Because 10 out of 10, let's be honest, if it came out nowadays, people would rip it to shreds, be like it was sexist and whatnot, because some of the guys are all having like a fantasy about this woman, and they're working at a hotel. Like Jay Park is the guy. Oh, crap. He picks up her car for her, and the other ones are room service. And one guy's dropping off towels for her, and she's taking a shower, and he like drops the towels. And the other guys are fantasizing about her feeding them whipped cream, but they're actually accidentally feeding each other with whipped cream. I'm like, what is this music video? I'm like, you can't release something like that nowadays because it's just like, okay, all right. And then they all catcall her at the end of the whole music video. I'm like, I still love this song, but for crying out loud, guys.
I couldn't believe how blatantly, not sexist, but yeah, I guess for lack of a better word, how sexist it was, or how objectifying it was for their debut song. Like, yeah. their introduction to the world. I'm like, oh my god, they're peeping on this woman as she's in the shower. What are they doing? Oh my god. But I will give the video a special shout out because my girl Yubin from the Wonder Girls makes an appearance at the end, as they're like, you know, the woman of their dreams has kind of like gone away and done something else. Yubin walks in frame, and then they go after her and go, oh, she's a 10 out of 10. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, it's Yubin. Yeah. And so, you know, that holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder why she looks so familiar. But now that you said that, I'm like, oh, she's from Wonder Girls. Yeah, like, geez. But it did set the tone for what 2PM is, though. Because going through their music videos, once again, I'm like, the amount of time that these guys are shown, like, in the process of, like, getting it on, I was like, every music video feels like there's someone, they're, like, about to, you know, get laid. And I'm like, what is this? What the crap? I was like, all right. And then, they had their party songs. And I was like, I was like, oh, geez. Come on, guys. But that was their thing. They're very much like, that was a back then, that was totally okay. And I guess it was a little shocking, but
like, it must have been.
Yeah, and these guys, they always had their shirts off. I mean, once again, they're getting it on, their shirts are coming off. The girl is more dressed than they are, But like, it's just
I
crazy.
will I will say, like, almost every video where there's one female that they're all kind of aiming for, or they're that has captured all of their attention, they find the most beautiful women in their music videos. I mean, of course, that goes without saying, they kind of have to for the video, but man, like some of the actresses, or I don't know if they're singers or what, but man, the women that are in the videos that is the object of their affection are absolutely gorgeous. Like, it's stunning. Stunning.
Well, yeah, it's JYP. They're not going to settle for, you know, subpar. Also, something else that happened, which also contributes, we talked about them last time. Girls' Generation did a music video with them. Yes. It's a Caribbean Bay cabby song, and they're all, I guess, once again, what the dudes are stripped. Guys can't keep their shirts on, and then you get to watch the girls strip too, and they're all lifeguards or something. So I was like, what in the crap? And this is also one of the reasons why Girls' Generation got so much, you know, flack, is because they were constantly doing these music videos and just engaging with the guy groups, which never freaking happens. Now all of a sudden they're, you know, running around in tank tops and touching the guys and flirting with the guys and all of these things. And I was like, this is why people had problems with Girls' Generation. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's funny. But like, yeah, this whole music video was interesting.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful commercial for a resort. I will say that.
It was a very good commercial for a resort. Those are usually like the most interesting and fun things to find, is these like music video commercials, you know? Because honestly, I was like, it took me a while, even though it was in the freaking like title, I was like, what is this? I thought it was just like the normal music video, but I'm like, oh, it's a commercial. But yeah, if anyone's interested in like very attractive men and the very attractive women who are in swimsuits, totally do this. And I think there's like a love triangle with, who is that, Jessica or Taekyon and crap, who is it, Jesse? I don't freaking know. Or Tiffany.
I mean,
Yuna. It's Yuna.
Or Yuna, yeah.
Yuna, yeah. Sorry, the quality is really bad. Really, it's grainy, but yeah, that was an interesting video. However, I think I left following 2 p.m. around the Heartbeat time. I think that was the last comeback I followed of theirs. And I still really like that song too. And again and again, I really like those songs. Because Heartbeat was, I don't know, it was a little bit. I don't want to say it was darker than the others, because it wasn't, but it was interesting. And then, did you watch the music video for My House at all?
I think I did. Is that one of their later ones?
It's one of their later ones, and it's like kind of Cinderella-y, where this girl's looking at a clock. She's in a blue dress, and she's trying to run out, and then all of the guys approach her.
Yes, I did see that.
Bunny, the singing bunny rabbit.
And again, the girl in that video, the girl playing Cinderella, was gorgeous, like absolutely gorgeous. And that song is actually pretty hot too. I actually added that one to my playlist. It's a pretty hot song.
It is. I really wish I knew who the girl is, because yeah, she is very, very pretty. This is probably, I'm just gonna say, she was probably a is it Solar? No. Anyway, I don't know who it is. Usually people tell you in like comment section who it is, but the comment sections are all Korean. I can't read Korean that well. So she was probably a trainee under JYP. So she's probably in another girl group. I just don't know which one. But yeah, that one was really good. Promise was interesting. I didn't really know what was going on in that one. There was a lot of aggressiveness going on in that music video in all aspects. Did you watch that one? Like, Nikoon has, he's playing chess and he smacks the board, and then like one of the members is getting it on, or a couple of the members are. I don't even know.
That video, that's one of their later ones. That video blew my mind because I started to watch them in chronological order.
Yeah.
You know, just so I can see the progression of the group. But that one came up beforehand, like right when I was just starting to get into it. So I figured I'd watch it. I didn't know it was one of their later videos. And there's a scene where one of the members is in bed with a woman. Like, he has his shirt off. She has, like, you know, like a shirt and like shorts on, like really small shorts on. And they're in bed together. And I'm like, how? This is JYP? Like, this is really risque. I can't even fathom a world where you would watch a Twice video and one of them would be in bed with a guy. Like, that's unfathomable for me. So that I was shocked. I was shocked. And then I went back and started at the beginning with their videos. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's just a day, a normal day in the life of them.
Yeah. Like I said, they're usually in bed with somebody in the music videos. I was going to say, all of them look amazing. Even, I think it's one girl. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was one girl or two girls. And a couple of the members were each fighting after, you know, a specific girl. Or if they're all, or if she's a thought and she's just playing them all. It's one of those things that I'm like, I even talked about Girls' Generation, where I don't know if all of the guys represent one guy and that they're just trading places, or if it's like Girls' Generation where the girl's literally playing all of them and that they're just finding out. Like, 'cause they do both in music videos, and I just do not know which one this is.
I just think of it as a collective. I think of them as a collective person, like Voltron, you know what I mean? Like, they're different members, but they all form together to form one dude, and that one dude is in love with this one girl. That's the way that I usually look at it.
Like the Zords in Power Rangers.
Exactly.
Like a Megazord. Okay, that would make sense, but I don't know. It's still, I feel disjointed with it, because I'm like, they're walking away, and then the other one's up on the balcony watching the other two walk away. I'm like, I don't know. But I did really like the music video. It was very interesting. And I like their blue suits. Everyone has really nice hair, because I'm a girl and I like that. So, yeah, it was very interesting. I also realized they have a lot of like home video-esque music videos.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I love that. I love behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was like, oh, this is kind of unique, because back then, I don't know every group, but that was kind of an oddity at the time. I know it's kind of an aesthetic thing now that people like to do, but like, that was very rare, because if you look at their older stuff, they're always in like in a warehouse type indoor thing. It's a set with lights and whatnot, even in like some of them. And then you can actually see them transition to going to like more outdoorsy stuff. But like, they had a lot of that, you know, video home cam behind the scenes thing. And once again, second generation groups really brought a lot to what we now consider normal. Anyway, I can't get into that yet because I haven't even talked about it. But yeah, I really like them. Oh, I didn't even watch all of the music videos. There's another one called Boom Boom Boom, and I think they're like at a skate park. It's really old. It's 2010, so it was like one of their original ones. They all have like the coconut hair going on. Well, not all of them, a lot of them. You know, they have that, you know, gravity-defying coconut head going on, but it was very interesting. That one also is very collage-y, video camera-esque. So anyway, about them, I don't know, are they still active? I don't think they are, because military service came and went. They're all in their 30s. I don't know if they're just on hiatus right now, because it's not telling me. But I know that people keep saying they're waiting for a comeback. But
I believe they're all doing solo stuff now, because I know that Junkei has been releasing some stuff recently. And I know, I think one of them just got out of military service too pretty recently. So I think they're just on hiatus for now. I think JYP would make an announcement if they were disbanding.
I would hope so, but never know. Sometimes they just kind of ignore the group and be like, hey, no. Oh, Nikkun dated Tiffany. Sorry.
I was gonna bring that up. I knew who he was before I knew who the band was. Just for that simple fact, because he dated Tiffany. Because I'm like, you actually got one of the girls from Girls' Generation. Like, you actually pulled that off. You get the highest props for me, my friend. He is automatically puts him to the top of my favorite member list of favorite members. Because he was able to somehow manage to win over 9 girls' hearts and get Tiffany. He actually did what the music video, the guys in a music video always try to do.
He did. I'm not surprised it's Nikkun who got Tiffany, because, I mean, I remember his nickname was the Thai Prince because he's from Thailand. But, like, I'm not surprised he was the one who's like, oh, yeah, I totally, you know. I got a Girls' Generation girl.
Seriously. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But I also watched him on that show, We Got Married, and he was with FX's Victoria during that show. Uh-huh. It was, I actually really like that show because you can see how they interact with the opposite sex. It's very interesting. You also see more of, like, their true personalities as you can, because they know they're on camera. So when you're on camera, you're still not fully acting as you are at home. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's nice.
My favorite thing about those shows is the commentators. Like, whenever whenever a guy, like, you know, grabs a girl by the hand or something, just for, like, just even like a small mini thing, like the camera zoom in and then you cut to the commentators on the episode and they're all like, oh my god. Yes. They touched hands. Oh my god, I love that cracks me up.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I love that. I was like, oh geez. They all act like high school students watching, like, ah! I also like when they start bringing in, like, their group members to also be commentators.
Yes.
Like, so what are they doing? What happened there? He's like, I don't know. It's just funny. That show's great. I think his was We Got Married International, because they're Victoria is from China and he's from Thailand. So, but, and I remember that Shiny members were on it, like Taemin and Key were both on it. Essentially, pretty much anyone who was a second gen or K-popper was on that show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are all doing their individual stuff. And I believe that Taekyeon was from Massachusetts. I think he's from Massachusetts. I know he's from the US. So only like 2 or 3 of them are actually from Korea. Let's see. So anyway, I'm going to go back a little bit, and I know people don't really like talking about this, but I'm going to talk about the J Park scandal.
Yes, talk about it.
All right. So J Park, like I said, he was the leader. And then after that, he kind of got, it was a freaking mess. It was a mess. So, he officially left. Okay, so they debuted in 2008, and then he officially left in 2010. However, I think in 2009 was when he got kicked out of Korea. I actually mean he got kicked out of Korea. So what happened was someone with no life, Sasang, decided to crack into his old MySpace account. And they dug back into things that he said back in 2005. Jeez, freaking A. And so he was born in 1987. So in 2005, that would make him, what, like 16, 17, something like that? He was a teenager.
My math is off. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, he was young, okay? And he said some things, and I read the translations at the time, and I'm like, Really? That's why y'all are mad? That's why you're all mad? You didn't even really say anything bad. I was like, huh. I was like, he just sounds like a punk teenage kid, like stressing out because he was sent to a country in a that he was unfamiliar with by himself at the age of 16. He didn't know the language, he didn't know the culture, and he was alone. And he was going through this harsh trainee thing. So of course he's gonna vent to his friends on Facebook, you know. But there are things about Korea. Like I said, every country has its problems. Korea is super nationalistic, and they don't like. Let's just say they don't like it when people say negative things about their country. So Jay Park got kicked out of the country. JYP said, well, he's just going to be in a hiatus right now. He's not going to be, you know, removed from the group. And so Heartbeat was coming up. So they had to reshoot the music video because they had already shot it and it was all done. So they just had to remove that. And then the album was like 159 because he wasn't there. And they're like, oh, he'll come back. But then later, this thing was so annoying. So then later, in 2010, and people found out that the MySpace comments were grossly mistranslated. So someone just made up a translation, and it wasn't even remotely what he said. And so after that little bit came out, people wanted him back in the country. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry, Jay Park. Please come back. Please come back. It was like within a few months, too. And so instead of bringing him back, JYP said, due to personal things, we're not bringing him back. And he's never elaborated on what these quote unquote personal issues were. So he was kicked out of the group. And no one really knows why. And Jay Park has obviously gone like, you know, don't hate on the other members of 2PM. They have nothing, you know, don't hate on them. It's all right, blah, blah, blah. So we still don't know why he got kicked out, honestly, because it wasn't the MySpace thing. JYP just went, nah, they're gone. So anyway, due to that, and because Jay Park had a huge fan base, he started a YouTube channel, which I joined immediately. Like I said, I was a debut and I love Jay Park. So my thought was extremely unfair because he didn't do anything. So I was like, he didn't do anything wrong. Why are you all kicking him out? And so he's saying, what was it called? He did a cover. He was in like a white t-shirt and singing in the bathroom. It's a big song back then. What was it called? He did. What was that song? It was like a B.O.B. song.
Oh, Nothing on You with Bruno Mars?
Nothing on You with Bruno Mars. B.O.B. And his cover got over 2 million views in less than 24 hours.
People were waiting for it. Park.
And they even released, there was even a version released that actually replaced Bruno Mars vocals with Jay Park. B.O.B. did.
Oh, nice.
And let's see. And because of they're saying that people were contributing the song success in Korea because the song had over 5 million copies sold. And then oh god, this dude, he actually he was the opening act for Neo. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, I was like, crap, really? So yeah, in 2011, so 1 year after he got kicked out, Neo asked for Jay Park. I don't even think he had a freaking entertainment, like he wasn't signed to anyone at this point. He was just this kid on YouTube. So Neo had him as the opener for his concert in Seoul, which was awesome. And then of course he started picking up all these awards. And then Korea had him like, oh, come on back. So he came back and because he was doing really well outside of Korea. I remember he was on like a Vietnamese show and all this stuff promoting himself. And he was doing some b-boy dancing with his Art of Movement group that he was a part of. I think it's part of, he was signed with Sidious HQ at that time. And then he was winning, like I said, winning all these awards. He was the first person ever to win on M Countdown on their debut stage.
Wow.
Yeah. First in history. Well, but I mean,
his debut stage is like, you know, his solo debut stage. Everyone was already in love with him from 2 p.m. So.
I know, but still, other groups have solo debut stages as well, and they still don't win.
Yeah, I guess maybe a lot of people in Korea felt he got the short end of the stick when he didn't come back or when they kicked him out.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know, but it's still really hard for a soloist to beat a group. It's almost impossible. So that was impressive. He also let's see. Actually, yeah. Well, he also performed on the, he was a headliner for MTV's Exit, which is End Exploitation and Trafficking. And then he also performed with a lot of Western artists. He performed with like freaking Justin Bieber and stuff. He did a lot of MTV performances as headliner. Yeah, with Justin Bieber and Kara and Miss Nina. Sorry, his stuff's a little, he has a lot. he's also highly contributed to, he created a hip hop label, AOMG. And he's, people say that he's the reason why Korean hip hop is so popular and mainstream now in Korea. Like, he's one of the people that says that it really boosted it. And so he's really, really well known over there. And he's not K-pop anymore. Like I said, he's now a hip hop, Korean hip hopper. Also something that he did, which was, he owns his own companies. He owns his own record labels and hip hop and rap and his own freaking agencies for acting. He has an agency that's specifically for American and Korean hip hop to try to blend the two together. And he was the first ever Asian artist to be signed under Jay-Z's what is that record label called? Yeah, he is the first ever Asian artist to be signed under that. So
I remember when that happened, because there was pictures of him with Jay-Z and Beyonce like at a party, and I'm like, look at you, Jay Park. Good for you.
So he is one of the most well-known people in Korea, let me just put it that way. Like, everyone knows who he is, and it makes me happy, because he had no support. All of his fans, when he was making his comebacks, we were all buying him billboards and planes and bus ads and TV space ads. He's essentially a self-made everything. He had no company, nothing, which makes me proud. Some people still don't like him, but you know, you don't have to like everyone. So
one of my favorite things about him is that he uses a producer named Cha Cha Malone. And Cha Cha has like a producer drop that he does in every song. So whenever Jay Park song starts and you hear, I need a Cha Cha beat, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah. I love that. It makes me happy. And, I don't know. I just like this guy. If you like hip hop, I would say take a look at him. Preferably, obviously, not when there's children in the room, because some of his videos, man, some of his ladies. But yeah.
What's your favorite Jay Park song?
Oh, no. That is hard. So my favorite one is, oh god, I guess it's an old one now. So it's, what was it called? Mumbe. So there's a lot of acid in that video, let me just say.
I know exactly one you're talking about.
Yeah. I love that. I love that song so much. I was like, I can't watch this video with other people around, but I freaking love this song. And the fuzzy cuffs didn't really help. Yeah. I was like, damn. But yeah, I love it. He's fun. I used to really like Demon too, but that's very toned down to what he usually does. But yeah, I like most of his stuff. But that's my favorite.
I'm a huge fan of Solo, a song he did with, I think her name is Hoodie. But he did a music video that was like a one-take dance video, and it blew my mind the first time I saw it. I must have watched that video like 20 times. It's a really dope song, but the video just completely enhances it. So yeah, Solo is my jam.
Solo is good. I do that one. I like it. I love everything he does, but yeah, that one's really good too. Hoodie's good. I've never heard of her from anything, but you know, he likes to bring people in. So anyway, back to 2 p.m this isn't a J Park thing. I got kind of sucked into J Park. I'm sorry. So what song is your favorite from 2 p.m or music video, whichever?
You know, my favorite song after the research that I did, and it's a song that I've heard before, but for some reason when I compare it to all their other songs, this is the one that like instantly got replayed, and it was ADTOY. I want to say it's
Attoy.
Yeah, Attoy.
I don't even know if that's what's actually called, but I call it Attoy.
It's, it's Think of You. I think it's All Day Think of You. I think that I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for. All Day Think of You. The song, like, it's especially going through their progression. Like, they started off as this really, like, you know, like dancing, tough guy, hip hop, machismo group. And then when I got to the videos where they're like wearing like pastel colors and being like like having fun, like being like, you know, pretty boys, I'm like, whoa, what happened there? So to see them get to that point where they kind of like matured and started making more mature music, that's when I'm like, okay, now I see why they're as popular as they are. And when I got to ADTOY, I'm like, oh, that's it, that's the jam right there, that's the official jam that's going on the official page playlist. So yeah, and the video is pretty dope too.
Yeah, it is. I like their chair dance, and that is also the music video where like every single member is with a chick. I'm like, geez, guys, we get it. we get it. But yeah, it's I think my favorite music video, just because of the sheer absurdity of it, is Go Crazy. You know this yes. thing where they like the motorbike with the group members, and they're all it's essentially the title. The dance is fun, the dance is weird, their outfits are pretty interesting. I like when they like knock I think that's Woo Young into the other members because he's on top of their backs, and then they just roll him off. And then, just everything about this video just makes me happy. It's just so ridiculous. But yeah, and they also do like the wiggle arm move. Oh, that was such a thing.
that's what won me over. As soon as I saw him do that move, I'm like, oh, okay, I like you guys.
The wiggle arms. So yeah, it kind of felt like they were going back to their like crazy party, you know, roots with this song, because a lot of the songs, or at least the title tracks and the music video tracks, is like they were being a lot more mellow, I want to say, up until that point for some reason. Because I don't know, it's hard to explain, but they just kind of seemed off. Because like I said, I knew that 2 p.m. was created to be like the yeah party group, we're gonna go have fun in the club, but then we're getting hit with all these like ballady type slow songs, but they still have like that techno vibe underneath it, but it's still kind of just, I don't know, it was just weird.
Well, there was a moment where they kind of, where the Grown album kind of happened, and they were like, okay, we're gonna aim for a more mature sound, and it totally works for me. But yeah, we got to talk about Hands Up. Hands Up was the jam that like transponded past K-pop. Like, that song was everywhere. That's actually, like, the first song that I knew of 2PM before I really knew who they were. Like, that song is a jam. So I can see them, like, they do that song, they get skyrocketed to, like, you know, the upper atmosphere. That song is a huge smash. They go back to doing their mature, like, you know, grown and sexy music. Then they're like, you know, we got to get some of that hands up action. So that's where I think that's where Go Crazy like pops up.
Yeah. And I do like Get Your Hands Up. It's ridiculous. The song's ridiculous. I love it. But, you know, don't go to second gen for deep lyrics. I did like that. The music, both music videos were fun. Because I think they have two. They have like a remix version too. Also, I feel like, I don't know how to put this the best. So they kind of, if you watch their dancing, when they first started out, they were kind of doing like more b-boying, breakdancing type things in their videos. But then they stopped, and then their dancing quality kind of, I don't want to say it's bad, but it kind of, how to put it without upsetting people, it kind of went girl groupish, in the fact that it wasn't complicated and it felt more like a cheer type of thing with the formations and stuff. You know what I mean? Because guys usually do the more complicated, like crazy weird stuff, and because the girls have to dance in heels, they kind of simplify the footwork and everything, you know. Yep. It's more arm movements. Well, 2PM kind of did that for a while, where their dancing was more arm movements, and it was just, if you're used to most boy groups, you're just kind of, it's lackluster, I guess, is more what it is, for a guy group, because you're like, why aren't they doing, you know, footwork? You know, why is it all arm stuff? Why, you know? And they kind of did that for a little bit. But then, like, put your hands up. I mean, it's still kind of the same, but it's more like a, yeah, party type of a thing. And that's, you know, it's more fun, and they're moving around more, and it's less arm pump. Yeah. You know, it's more like, woo. But I don't know. You have to watch the older video, like, not their first couple, but, like, there's this awkward in-between stage that I think they didn't know what to do. Like, their choreographers didn't know what to do with the music. Because it was also that time when they were kind of doing more of the ballady stuff too, which I just noticed they have a horse mask. That music video kind of took me by surprise. Sorry, I was watching it right now. It's just like at the bottom right corner.
Yeah, there was a time where that horse mask was everywhere. It's a thing. That's what I love about these videos. They're really good time capsules, like when you see like some of the dance moves and things like that of where we are at the time.
It's interesting. Also, this was like my I don't want to say it's my introduction, but they have a lot of lights on their suits and their gloves, and interesting. I actually really like it. It's very interesting. So
I do want to say real quick about their dancing. Like, when they first started out, there was a ton of, like, backflips and somersaults and no-hand flips and all types of things like that. Like, there was plenty of them. And they would even do something that I don't think I've ever seen before, or at least I don't remember seeing, is that at the end of the music video, there'll be a dance break. Like, they'll just do a random, like, I don't know, 60-second dance that had nothing to do with the video that you just saw. Nothing to do with the video that's coming up. It's just like a dance break at the end of the video, just to show that, you know, they got the moves.
Yeah.
I would say after a couple of albums of that, when they were like, okay, from this moment on, we're going to be grown and sexy. So we're either wearing nice suits or close to nothing. one or the other.
Essentially. Yeah. They had a very, I don't know. I don't want to say it's drastic, but it was a very noticeable shift in what they were, because I mean the underlying what they are about is the same, but they shifted on, like, it goes from, like, you know, teenagers, you know, trying to hit on girls type of a thing to, like, mature grown freaking men hitting on women. it shows growth, and I think that's interesting. And once again, this is why I like talking about these older groups, because you can actually really see that over time of how they evolved into what they are now, or, you know, what they end as. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a that might be like a natural trajectory for boy bands, because if you look at like even like GOT7 is also under JYP, who I don't know that much about, but I do remember one of their first videos, and I, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, they're like a boy band, you know, they're all young and pretty and bright clothes, blah blah blah, and then you look at like some of their latest stuff, and it's, you know, they're definitely going for that grown and sexy vibe, which I'm not mad at, but I think that might be a natural progression for boy bands, even if you look back at like old BTS videos, like the original BTS videos.
Yeah,
you won't even recognize those kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they lose the baby fat, and that's another thing. You get to watch them grow up and you notice how people lose their baby fat, because even when you're a teenager you have some of that on your face. Yep. And your body is not fully developed, so how you build muscle is, you know, more lanky, I guess. So yeah, you actually get to watch someone grow up in quick time. It's the same thing with like long TV shows, but yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know. I'm weird. I like watching that type of a thing. Like, oh, it's so interesting. But I also like seeing how different cultures develop and evolve over time too. And I'm not saying that TV is like the best way to get that, but you can kind of pick up little hints and things, like they stop doing certain things, and you know, because it's no longer acceptable and whatnot. And like I said, second gen, girls' generation, just even doing anything with guys was just such a scandal, you know. And they got so much flack for it. How dare you be in a music video with DBSK? How dare you be in a music video with, you know, 2PM? How dare you be close friends with all these guy groups? Girls are only supposed to be friends with girls, and guys are only supposed to be friends with guys. But I gasp. Insanity. But yeah, I feel old. I haven't watched the country a little too much, too long. I feel really old because it's getting close to like, oh god, 2008. It's already been over 10 years. So
yeah,
I'm almost getting to 20 years of watching K-pop stuff. I'm like, crap. But yeah, I feel old. So any final thoughts on 2PM?
I will say that I was very impressed by their different levels, their different I guess comebacks. I really, really enjoy their grown and sexy versions. I think those songs are a little bit better. I mean, as much as I enjoy it, if they appeared in concert and did like, you know, Heartbeat right now, or Without You, you know, one of those older songs, I'd still be like, yeah, do it. But I kind of like the new grown and sexy versions of them. I haven't had a chance to get into any of the their solo work. But from what I can see, it looks like there's a lot of it. And the little taste that I did get sounds like it's definitely aiming more towards that more mature sound. So I'm interested to get into a little bit more of their solo work.
Yeah, I do. I because like I said, I kind of left 2PM. I was a salty person because they kicked Park out for no freaking reason, and they still won't talk about why he got kicked out. I think JYP just wanted a reason to kick him out, but that's just my personal thought. But I feel like because I missed out on a lot of really good songs. Because I really like some of their newer stuff, and I feel kind of bad I missed all those comebacks because I was so salty at JYP. Not necessarily 2PM, but JYP himself. But once again, I was a freaking teenager at the time. You know, you're an idiot when you're a teenager. Sorry, teens, but you are. You'll grow up, and you'll realize, man, I was a dumbass. It's kind of, I mean, your frontal lobe isn't fully developed and blah, 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 but like, it's just, that's what growing is. And I feel bad, but you know, they're still going strong. Jun K is doing his solo stuff, and Jay Park's obviously doing fine. you know, so it is what it is. And there's, I mean, if they come back fully as a group, I'll definitely, I think they just did something as a full group. I remember seeing an announcement about it, but I'm not 100% sure. I need to dig around a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure I saw that. But yeah, as I'm rambling again. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, they're definitely a group to check out if you're kind of interested just into like the older vibe, techno-y stuff. It's not even the hard techno. I don't even know what to call it. But they're more of the dance, you know, fun time group. Also, if you're more interested in seeing attractive ladies and, you know, as close to sex as you're going to see on, like, you know, free and public television, you know, in music videos, it's still very tame compared to our stuff over here. But they're actually worth a listen. If they don't connect with you, you know, it is what it is. You don't have to like everyone, you know, no one has to like the same thing. But yeah, I hope. Well,
I will suggest that they check out, there's a video called Come Back When You Hear This Song that has like a really cool storyline about the seven deadly sins that I was like, oh, they've kind of stepped it up a little bit. So definitely check that out if you're, you know, you're curious about the group.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. That one is interesting. It's also funny that Nikoon's lust, but, or greed, sorry, not, anyway, anywho, my bad. So yeah, thank you once again. Oh, so today we have something very special because at the time of us recording, it's actually the holiday season. So happy holidays to everybody. But I don't know when this is going to release. We'll probably be released in January. But anyway, for the K-pop term, I don't believe we've talked about it, is a gyol. So at the end of each year, there in Korea, we have a lot of these special stages or performances from idols, and there are actually three festival shows. So there's KBS Gyo, NBC Gyo, and SBS Gyo. So it's actually really fun. I believe that KBS just did theirs like 2 days ago. Taemin had an amazing performance. It was so cool. There was fire and suit was lit, and G-Idol did an amazing thing that kind of reminded me of Wicked with like the long, anyway. So it's a really fun holiday, but not Christmassy per se, special where you get to see all, it's just a full on like little mini concerts. And it's really cool. I think they have Ikigayo as well. I don't know when exactly that is or if it already happened. But yeah, they're really fun. They happen each year. They're kind of like end of the year, New Year's specials, but not on New Year's. I was thinking about doing a special on that, but I was like, you know, they're so spread out and just crazy. We wouldn't have time to do it. So I decided to make it just a term. So yeah, that's what a gyo is. It's just like it's a festival, you know, for this holiday season over in the K-pop world, and it's a lot of fun because I like seeing their special stages. Plus you also get like groups you've never heard of, so it's a good way to learn about different groups too. And a lot of the rookie groups do covers. They almost extensively only do covers of the bigger groups, so it's very unique. I think Stray Kids did a BTS song, Dionysus, and they freaking killed it, so it was amazing. So yeah, that's what a gyo is. It's just something that you should know because people, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, ikigayo, it's really cool. You're like, what the crap is that? So that is your K-pop term of the day. And thank you so much for joining us on K-pop Cosmos. And you can find me on TDC, the Definitive Crusade, for everything DC comic related. And what do you have going on in the podcasting world, Mark?
Oh, you can find me every week on So Wizard Podcast, where each week we talk about, we usually do a movie review and talk about whatever nerdy things are happening in the world of pop culture. So coming up, we will be talking about The Mandalorian and Star Wars TV show. We're going to do a big review of all of the episodes of that. And we will also be reviewing newer movies that are coming out towards the end of the year, like Soul on Disney Plus and Wonder Woman 84. So, yeah, So Wizard Podcast, com. Me, Joy, and Aubrey, we nerd out every week.
Awesome. And I heard there was some special stuff going on in Mando, so that's going to be interesting. So thank you guys once again for joining us, and have a good holiday season or birthdays or whatever is going on, because I don't know when this is coming out.
Yes, everyone have a great 2021, and let's all keep our fingers crossed that it's better than 2020.